The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who
it's,
lead
us,
not stick us and bleed.
No longer an unspoken fear. I involve myself with conversations with people every day, via text, via phone call, via face-to-face. And there is a tremendous fear in this country today that not only are we on our way down, we've been falling for a long, long time. It's a horrible thing to face with all the years that many of us have been on this earth, witnessed the things that we've witnessed. The first year I broadcast was 1995. November the... I'm losing momentary track, the 22nd or the 23rd of that year. I sat down the night before airtime and I wrote a piece entitled "The Day America Died." It would have been the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. In my estimation, there were many precursors to all of that. The signing off and the founding of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Now, the Federal Reserve did not truly come into effect until sometime around February of 2014. In a series that I recorded many years later called The Mask of Demetrios, named after an old Warner Brothers movie, I recanted senatorial interviews with the man who had been chosen to be the first Federal Reserve chairman. What a history he came to the party with. A Rothschild underling who, along with his brother, had been the head of one of the major European banks. At the end of World War I, just a few years later, when the two sides were sitting down to negotiate the treaty and the financial settlements of World War I, who was going to pay who back and all this business, each of the two brothers represented the opposite sides. Who's zooming who, people? That was the beginning. Woodrow Wilson, FDR, LBJ, it just goes on and on and on. And the choices that we have had put before us since then have been appalling at best. Each one with their own dirt, their own filth, their own personal agendas. I hate to say it, and some of you will get ticked off, but I think that since LBJ, Nixon was probably the purest of all of them. God. Good evening. Welcome to the second hour of the National Intel Report on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, also known as Protecting Your Wealth. I'm your host for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. We're here to discuss economic issues. Tonight is somewhat different approach to the things that we've discussed. I'm not here to offer you anything tonight but information. information that each and every one of you must consider, depending on what it is you're trying to accomplish on this earth. For many of us, I think the idea of accomplishment is to survive, to thrive, not necessarily economically, but that certainly doesn't help, or doesn't hurt, I mean. Today is the 20th day of February, 2018. In six more days, I will turn 70. And the best days I've had in those 70 years were the 21 months I spent in Huey helicopters flying over a country that very few people had ever heard of until the 60s. Yeah, I wouldn't trade a day of that. In those tumultuous 21 months, I knew what the goal was. The goal was to survive, to live, to thrive, to live for another day. And many days since. That has to be unusual for you to sit back and listen to a guy who said he served time in Vietnam and it was amongst the best days of his life. Maybe that's why I survived, because I had those kind of attitudes. I certainly had concerns, will I make it out of here? But I didn't let it rule me. I wasn't staying stoned on wacky weed 24 hours a day like some of my compadres did, who wound up in many cases losing their life because they didn't have their mind right, Luke. And so we spend all these years on this earth trying to get our minds right, to get our life right, to get the direction right for ourselves, for our families, our wives, our children, in my case, my grandchildren. I look at today's market reports. Dow Jones Industrial closed down nearly 255 points today to close at 24,964. S&P 500 was off nearly 16 at 2716. NASDAQ down a bit over 5 at 7234. Global Dow was even down. Oil was up 9 cents. Oh yeah, barrel of oil is now up about 10 bucks a barrel since Donny Boy took office. I'll not sit here wasting my time talking about Donny Boy and the rest of the nonsense that's going on. Oh, Hammy taking you?
Yeah,
I'll have her right there. All right. Well, if you know, I can always drop it off later.
Is that okay?
Yeah. All right. Sorry about that, folks. Told you my grandkids come first. I just got an email from a friend of mine. I think I shocked the heck out of her. Interesting headline I saw. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight. There are a few headlines. Hedge fund honcho Singer says that Bitcoin is one of the most brilliant scams in history. I find that interesting. I have a commercial that I wrote some time ago, and we're going to get it edited so we can begin to run it here. I always felt one of the biggest financial scams that I'd witnessed in my lifetime was the Iraqi dinar. I mean, that game is still being played. It's never going to be resolved because there was never an intent to resolve it. They sucked God knows how much money out of people with the promise that, oh, when the Iraqi dinar changes over, you're going to make all these big bucks. Woo-wee, dummies. Ethereum chief warns cryptocurrencies could drop to near zero at any time. Square is in a live-with-it, die-with-it relationship with Bitcoin. Bitcoin hits 3-week high, trading at above 13,000, or I'm sorry, 11,000. But those are just a series of some of the headlines. Hey, Walmart took it in the shorts today. Yes, the biggest drop the biggest one-day drop in their stock value in their history as a publicly traded entity. Oh, yeah. The Great Walmart of China. And I don't really care. I don't like their stinking store. I don't like what they stand for. I go out of my way to not go in there. But there is one exception. My granddaughter and I tend to do some grocery shopping there. Now, we're very careful. I generally won't buy their produce because they're most of their produce, like lettuce and stuff like that, doesn't last very long. I tend to go there. If I buy bananas, I buy green ones because they tend to last longer. Plus, I got to be honest, I like the flavor of them when the skin's a little on the green side. Over on the metal side, rhodium sits flat at 1,700 an ounce. Palladium up a dollar at 1,024. Platinum up a whopping buck. Woo, they're approaching that $1,000 level again. Yeah, they're at 999, which is certainly better than turning those numbers upside down. That's a bad sign unto itself. Silver up 3 cents at $16.45 an ounce. Gold up 70 cents at $1,329.40. It's interesting. I look at the figure on silver. I had a gentleman who I really enjoy talking with for a number of reasons, who's been wanting to buy some silver from me. The problem is I cannot make it affordable for him. Now, it's not to say that I can't do that. It's just that he wants to buy one roll of Silver Eagles. My main suppliers will not ship that. Oh, they will with a $25 handling fee for a single roll. In fact, one of my suppliers, if I sell any amount of Silver Eagles less than a full box of 500, there will be a $25 shipping and handling fee. They're having to pay somebody to break down the boxes, okay? It's that simple. So that leaves me another option. It's more of a local basis. Now, I tend to pay just a slight bit more per ounce on a Silver Eagle if I go to my local guy. But that means I have to leave the office. I'm gone for about 90 minutes, using up my gas, my time. Got to pay the higher price. But to try to compensate for the rest of it, I've got to mark it up beyond what I consider to be fair. And the client wants so much to help the network. I said, I can't do it. Because by the time it's over and done with, you're not going to help the network. It's unreal. I have another supplier we've worked with for many, many years who I severed relationships with last week for reasons I'll not bore you with. Let's just say that things with that company were not going in a direction that I was comfortable with. I was afraid that the day could quickly come that you might place an order and pay for it, and I might pay them, and then who knows, you know. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yep, hope so. Hope so. I had to interrupt myself for just a moment. I received three emails, actually, from a very good friend of mine. A good friend who I met on the air. Once again, also in 1995. It was actually through her husband. He was tuning into the programs that John and his then partner and I and others would do in a collective two-hour format. And they began to listen, and she has remained a very close listener and friend. They parted company many years ago for reasons that she's never divulged to me. I have my suspicions why, but it's okay. He remarried several years later to a real piece of work, and he subsequently passed away. And she and I have continued to stay in touch, never met face-to-face, But we talk and we chat and we just kind of lift each other up as is needed. She had a horrible accident last year. She was almost killed in a motorcycle accident. But that's not why you tune in. Let me ask you a question. Because there's a number of things that arise in our lives. Risk. There is risk in everything we do. There's risk in getting up in the morning and going out and getting our car and driving down the road. There's risk in going out to the bar and having a little bit of too much Who Had John and being able to make it home. There's risk waking up, risk going to sleep, risk in what we eat, risk in medical procedures. I find it so amazing that after the shooting in Florida last week, the amazing outcries and everything that's going on demanding that the gun confiscatory policies, it turns out that this punk kid, the gun dealer that bought the guns from him, has subsequently closed his doors and put himself out of business. He says he no longer can do it. Well, I would suspect not, after the fact that the kid bought, somehow took delivery of 3 guns illegally through your store. Okay? But there's far more deaths related to automobile accidents on the road every day. Of course, in China, they're killing each other with knives. Steve Voss, who does the opening piece of music for this program, many years ago wrote a piece, which I still have a copy of. And Steve wrote about confiscating baseball bats. I mean, it was written to be somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but to show us how foolish things have become in this country. And my friends, Steve probably wrote that piece a dozen or more years ago. So let's talk about another kind of risk. Economic. We've all taken them. We've gone to the casino. We've taken a cruise. We've invested too much money in stocks or bonds or mutual funds or CDs. We've turned all of our hard earned money, our assets, over to someone else to manage. That's risk. Risk can also be looked at as fluctuations in the returns in your portfolio. What is a portfolio? It is a, for all intents and purposes, it is a collection of a different group of economic investments. I have a fairly intense portfolio of old film graphics dating back to the Charlie Chaplin era, things that I began to acquire and collect in the very late 1950s. In fact, a little over a year after I bought my first piece of silver, I began to invest in graphics of old lobby cards, old one-sheet movie posters, inserts, some of which I still have, many of which over the years I've sold. In some cases, I lost a sizable portion of the collection that was in for consignment in an operation in Phoenix that all of a sudden went bankrupt. And I went through living hell to try to get my stuff back. But unfortunately, it had been taken by the courts and auctioned off to satisfy bigger names than I had as value. But the question I pose to you is this. Do you really need a portfolio diversification? I mean, everyone assumes that broad asset class portfolio diversification is advantageous because it reduces the risk associated with events that can trigger a decline in any one asset class. And it would hopefully tend to make financial planning more reliable and predictable by reducing the variations in portfolio performance from year to year. Example, my wife got talked into when her one of her CDs came due, God, certificates of depreciation, to go talk with this guy who's just a straight shooter, and boy, he wouldn't do anything to hurt you, and blah, 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 and he's got this plan he can do. So she decides to put $15,000 with this guy. It's been with him for, what, 4 months now? She's lost $40 a month every month. That's not a win-win. I mean, that's losing bigger than the CDs. But keep this in mind. In theory, portfolio diversification is a sound investment practice. But that said, exactly how much risk reduction in actual numbers is obtained through the applications of that type of philosophy? The bottom line is that asset class diversification, is that all it's cracked up to be? We'll try to share some thoughts and ideas with you tonight. And to be honest with you, because of my sidestepping and going down several different paths, my plan direction tonight, I may not have enough time to follow through with all of it. In which case, we will conclude this on Thursday night. And it's an interesting train of thought. It's going to open up some options to many of you that you may not even be aware that were available to you. But bear with us on that. Consider this. The ideal tool for performing the analysis that we're talking about is something called Modern Portfolio Theory, or MPT. Now, believe it or not, that was a Nobel Prize-winning approach which utilizes complex mathematics to tell you how to best allocate your funds among various asset classes to minimize your risk. And that is what we have to do, whether we are 70 or we're 30. Makes no difference. We must discover the way to minimize risk. Now, in this case, risk can be looked upon as fluctuations in portfolio returns. In MPT, risk is measured by a statistical term called the standard deviation. And it's this quantity that MPT seeks to minimize in recommending portfolio diversification allocations. Now, there's software used to do all this stuff. And it's a program called the SMC Analyzer. And there's lots of information out there. But we can make this as simple or as complex as we want. So let's take just a few moments. And what I'm about to share with you is the portfolios considered. They used monthly total return data taken between January of 1928 through December of 2017. And they included these following 10 asset classes. Large cap U.S. stocks. Small cap U.S. stocks. Long-term corporate bonds, long-term government bonds, intermediate government bonds, 30-day T-bills, real estate investment trusts or REITs. Yeah, I never did well with those, but boy, the broker sure cleaned up. International stocks, international bonds. And item 10, gold. Now, when I mention the word gold, I also include silver, platinum, occasionally a little bit of cotton or copper, but not copper for the reasons that most people think. I don't look at copper as a precious metal. Historically, it is the world's oldest monetary metal. Copper coin, copper ingots were used in a monetary exchange long before gold and silver were. But each of these 10 asset classes that we've just shared with you are themselves composed of a broad diversification of assets within that class. Now, I'm not going to try to address that need throughout this commentary, but only the benefits of diversification among various classes, mixed or standalone. Now, the methodology used in this analysis was to first establish a baseline return or risk table using all 10 of the candidate asset classes. And these tables contain certain measures of risk defined as, first of all, the standard deviation. That would be statistical measure of portfolio return fluctuation around the target return. Secondly, the probability of loss, the chance of that portfolio losing value in any one year. And thirdly, the Sharpe ratio, a measure of risk versus reward, with larger numbers being better. I'm hoping that what they mean by the larger numbers are the reward, not the risk. There was a need to sit and analyze these 10 categories, remove each asset class one by one in each of successive rounds, and then to assess its effect on the measures of that overall risk. And at the end of each round, it was chosen to eliminate the asset class that had increased the measures of risk the most, which was repeated for 8 rounds, until only 2 asset classes remained. This is a complex story to tell on the air because much of this can require visuals. And in the online variation of it, we will provide some visuals for you. So now we use the same measure of risk as our benchmark. Asset classes were eliminated from consideration in each successive round in the following order. Is that Sneaky Bob coming up behind me? Huh? Who's that? I think Sneaky Bob. Sneaky Bob must have stayed here. I would have thought she went with Grandma. So she's here by herself. She's my 6-year-old. Yes, that's what I call her, Sneaky Bob. Ah, she just popped me on the back of the head. I don't think that was one of the puppies that did that, was it? Oh, she did it again. She knows I'm on the air, and she won't admit it, but she loves to be a part of it. She's a Sneaky Bob. I'm not going to get you. All right, so if we use the measure I just described of risk as our benchmark, asset classes were eliminated from consideration in each successive round. First, they took out international bonds. Then they took out long-term government bonds, real estate investment trusts. They took out gold fourth, international stocks, large U.S. stocks. And then finally, either intermediate-term government bonds or long-term corporate bonds, depending on what the target return was. And the results were quite interesting. Two of the tables showed the measures of risk using only 2 asset classes in the analysis, which were the 2 assets that were taken out that had the biggest risk. That's not for me to share with you here tonight. Okay, this is something that we'll have to provide you online. And we're going to do that. It's going to take some pretty intense effort on my behalf to get it out, because it's a very involved project to lay this particular piece out. But once you look at the tables, you'll see that the returns are best realized by small cap stocks and medium term government bonds in conservative portfolios, and by small cap stocks and long term corporate bonds or investment grade in the more aggressive ones. The inclusion of small caps, especially in the more aggressive portfolios, should come as no surprise, because it is those assets that are capable of generating the highest returns over the long haul. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment to continue on a little bit of this topic. I want to ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It'd be the Floyd, the tune, baby, the whole, the Floyd.
Welcome back to our second set tonight. It is interesting, during the break, I was taking some time looking at these columns of the asset classes. And you look at it, in essence, four particular columns. The comparison of actual returns achieved utilizing all 10 asset classes versus just two asset classes. It becomes interesting that sometimes interest rate has a bearing. Let's assume that you had a portfolio with 10 asset classes and your brother had the portfolio with only two asset classes in it. If you required a 6% return, the 10 asset classes returned 7.1%. But the guy who only had two asset classes received 8%. Once we jump to the 7% return requirement, the return is 8.2 versus 9.1. The fewer the asset classes in this particular case, the guy drew a much stronger return. Once the interest rate return, or the return on one's investment, the requirement was 8%, the 10 asset class owner was up to 8.6%, 10.2 for the guy who held two asset classes. And the numbers go subsequently along those same lines. The two asset class holder always seemed to stay ahead of what the 10 asset class holder did, except that now the interest rates are getting up there. If 10% return was demanded of one's investment, the 10 asset class holder only got a 10.1%, a 0.1% gain over what his minimum requirement was. His brother was at 11.4, which means he saw a 1.3% higher gain. At 11%, the guy holding 10 asset classes actually found himself at a loss. 11% is what they required to be returned. He only pulled in 10.1. His brother got 11.7. But once the required return hit 12%, something quite interesting happened. Both of them lost. 11.8% was the best they could see in return. So there are some things going on. But what is quite interesting to me is that in these various different investments, obviously the guy with the 10 asset classes also owns some gold. The guy with only two asset classes in his portfolio may have owned gold. He may not have. There is no reference. There are no specifics. But one must understand there's a takeaway from all of this. It does not take broad asset class diversification to adequately achieve one investment goals with a reasonable level of reward versus risk. You can sleep easy knowing that your nest egg needn't be diversified among more than the two carefully selected classes discussed above for you to believe, realize your desired long-term return at minimum risk, blah, 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 blah. It is just as boring for me to share this thing with you as it is boring for you to sit out there listening saying, what in the hell is he talking about, Martha? You'll have to read it, and we will endeavor to get this posted tonight because it is really quite interesting. And yet, I sit there looking at this idea of diversification. You talk to a Wall Street broker about diversification. He says, we got some small cap stocks. We got some big government bonds. We got some T-bills. Well, your dead gold and silver doesn't pay shizzy. You don't want that stuff. Well, in 1991, it came before me a program that remained very little known. And yet it intrigued me. Intrigued me beyond what my personal experience had been, which is to buy gold and silver to hang on to hold, to sell it, not to sell it. Other than under the specific circumstances where you may have had no choice. I was introduced to a program at the time, one of only two companies who had originally been approved by the Internal Revenue Service. I love that. Service. You've all heard that story. How many different companies? We have the Postal Service, the Internal Revenue Service. Anytime they get the word service in it, I stand up and squeeze my butt cheeks together real fast. I'm sorry if that offends you, but it certainly made its point. As Michael falls off his stool in the studio. We mentioned in the 10 asset classes gold, silver, etc. I've been back on board with RBN for some, 6-7 months now. And as I mentioned to you last week, sales of precious metals to our listeners has been debatable at best. We've got some good clients out there who've continued to do their best to support the work that RBN is trying to get out on the airwaves each and every day, but also understand the reasons and the need for holding specie, getting the real goods in our hand. But there's others, maybe because of where they live, or maybe because of their circumstances, that would like to expand out in different arenas, but they're not sitting there flush enough to be able to do so. 1991, I was introduced to the American Church Trust Company, which no longer is in existence. They were purchased by a family-owned bank in Texas. Yeah, privately owned banking concern. They're based out of Amarillo. And I just passed out. Momentary. Something just flashed before my eyes, and it's what actually scared me and woke me up. I do this every once in a while. I get so tired that I'll just momentarily just blip out, just have a little quick blackout. I just had that. Because something I said just triggered something else, and it spooked me. So let's talk about this. American Church Trust sold out to a privately held banking concern in Texas. And I've had a very, very long relationship with this group of people. And I began working with clients back in the early 90s that I still work with today. Now, you think about where the markets were in the early 1990s. You think about 10 years later when gold hit $252 an ounce. And look where gold is today. Oh, yeah, of course. Gold was, Jeff, this ain't no good place to be. Gold was $1,900, and now it's only $1,300 and some. Yeah, but what about the guy that bought it from me at $300 and $400 an ounce? He's not an unhappy camper. And none of it's been taxable. What we're talking about is taking an existing IRA and rolling it over all or in part into a precious metals individual retirement account. Yes, you can do that. And ensconced within that precious metals IRA account, you actually have the ability to buy and own a wide range of different forms of gold and silver and platinum. I believe they added palladium a couple of years ago. I've got clients that are very, 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 very happy. I have a gentleman, an American, who now is retired, lives in Europe, who over the past several years has had to draw down on his IRA. But he's been very thankful because in the 10 years since he's had the IRA, he actually has continued to watch the value of it increase. George was diagnosed with cancer. I had a lot of treatments, a lot of things he had to do. At least he had that IRA to fall back on. People who work for corporate America, who decide that when they retire, they roll their retirement and pension funds over into something else and get a little bit more hands-on with it, we can do that. I've got a long, 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 long time listener from Wisconsin, Mark, who came to me within 6 months prior to his full retirement at his place of work. And in October of, I think it was 08. Might have been 10. It was very, very difficult to buy any quantity of silver. Not just for physical possession, but for inclusion in IRAs, whatever. I didn't care if you were talking bars, coins, ingots, pieces of jewelry, nothing. It didn't matter. The biggest companies in the country could not deliver what I needed. I got one supplier that is so unusual, and very few people really understand how unusual he is. Within 24 hours, he was able to deliver to the trust storage vaults, the secure storage vaults of the trust company, some 280 1,000 ounce silver bars within 24 hours. Everybody else I talked to had no silver to sell. They wouldn't even take an order because it was speculative. They had no idea what they were going to have to pay once it did become available. So let's assume you begin to think about adding precious metals to your retirement funds. Maybe you've already been buying gold or silver for your other investment accounts, or maybe this will be your first venture into precious metals investing. The reason I'm sharing all this with you is to show you that there are options available to you that you may not be aware of that are available to you. You could just purchase gold and silver and platinum or palladium. You can store them separately and mentally earmark them, save for retirement. But maybe a more reasonable option might be to take advantage of the tax benefits available through the use of self-directed IRAs, self-directed Roth IRAs. You can learn a lot about those benefits by conducting internet research. There's no two ways about it. The specific language pertaining to investing IRA funds in precious metals can be found in Section 408, M, like in Mary, 3. That's a paragraph. All of this of the Internal Revenue Code. Now, I think we all know what the Internal Revenue Code is. It's a scary-ass document, Jack. Yeah, think about that. All self-directed, and that's the beauty of the self-direction. Nobody can sit there and make a decision for you. Well, let's see. Mary always does what I said, and Mary's not going to argue if I sell off some of her silver and buy her some gold. Yeah, if Mary had the truth, she probably would be upset, you scumbag. Because I don't want that responsibility. I will always talk with my client. The client may contact me and say, Jeff, at the end of the year, it's new tax year. I've got to put $6,000-$7,000 into the IRA. Should I do that, or am I getting a little top heavy with my metals openings and holdings? And I will, according to their needs and their goals, make the right recommendations. It is interesting. Self-directed IRAs up until the last couple of years had to have been established through independent third-party firms known as custodians. Now, those are usually banks, trust companies, credit unions, brokerage firms, even an S&L. That have been approved by the federal and or state agencies to provide asset custody service to individual investors and financial investors. Well, they undergo special audits to document their financial strength, their custodial performance. Custodians establish IRAs for their clients, then execute all asset purchases or sales authorized by the client and perform all required banking asset purchases or sales authorized. They perform all required record-keeping functions. Now, that's what the inheritor of American Church Trust would do. But you and I do some things together. I predominantly become your metals broker. I'm the one that provides the metals that go into your IRA. I can help you establish. I had a formula years ago that nobody could touch. I have a website that deals with this. It's called goldenira.com, GoldenIRA.com. And what I'm sharing with you tonight is actually on the front page of that site. It is an unusual site because it's all black background, white lettering. If you're going to go look at it all, I would certainly urge you to go up to your view bar at the top of the page and enlarge the font several times so you can more easily read it. But it is a very distinct looking website. Every image was specifically chosen to, with a black background specifically, so it would blend immediately into what it is we were trying to get across. So you can identify precious metals custodial firms by conducting an online search. You can contact precious metals dealers. Some of them will refer you to custodians with whom they do business. Unfortunately, my friends, I've found that there are companies now who want to set themselves up to be both your trustee and your provider. I strongly urge you separate the two of them. You will maintain more control. You can usually acquire massively detailed information on a custodian's website. Ask them for background information. If you search for news stories on precious metals IRAs or alternative investment IRAs, you may find coverage of some of the firms as well. Experience and capacity are critical elements when evaluating a custodian. Leading firms serve tens of thousands of active IRA staffing and technology required to facilitate the purchase or sales transactions. Let's assume that I assist you in setting up your individual retirement account. Do you know that there's no charge for me to assist you in getting it established? I want it simple for you. I want it clean. I want the T's crossed, the I's dotted. And I don't want the S to look like a Z and a B to look like a D. No, I help you make sure that it's all right from the get-go. There'll not be any questions asked when we submit your paperwork to the trust company. And I have several different trust companies that I have worked with, but there's one that I prefer to work with. Number one, because I'm extremely well-known there. Number two, because I also help them establish some of their policies and ways of conducting business with their clients. And they've been pretty damn grateful ever since. I didn't expect anything for it. Not one bit. But remember this. Never confuse custodians with financial advisors. Custodians will provide you with a guidance as to the specific type of coins or bars approved by the IRS for retirement accounts, but they will never offer you tax or legal or investment advice. As you consider these investments, you may wish to consult with your tax advisor for or financial planner. If your pursuit of this type of IRA is your first foray into the precious metals world, then frankly, you want to quickly learn about the critical role of precious metals dealers. We are firms whose business is buying and selling gold and silver and other metals for individuals as well as self-directed IRA account holders. But I share with you, Kettle Moraine Limited, to the best of my knowledge, is the only company in the country as a dealer, as a precious metals broker, who has a website completely autonomous from its other website. We have a standalone website dealing with this individual retirement account topic. And I separated those for that very reason. Anybody else's, why don't you go to AppMix, you go to anybody's website. Oh, yeah, we got this IRA section over here. You click on it to one page that says, oh, you interested in precious metals IRAs? Here, send us your name, your address, your phone number. We'll have one of our representatives call you. And that's it. I don't believe in doing things that way. I want you to have a massive expanse of knowledge going in. No one else provides you what I am trying to provide you through this website. Now, some but not all custodians have a list of deeders that they have pre-qualified to serve their clients. And that list may include several hundred such deeders throughout the country. But the terms of those approved agreements are stipulated in written documents between the deeder and the custodian. And yet custodians will not select the deeder for you. And there's good reason for that. You've got to be comfortable with who you're dealing with. You're not going to call my phone number and talk to have your choice of talking to Jim or Bob or Mary or Fred or Frank or Sammy, Squid Jeezy, or anybody else. You're going to get me, myself, and I. And you know what? There's nobody in the country that's got the knowledge and the experience to handle even the discussionary factors of this program as I do. No. Most of it's draped in confetti. It's one huge party. Thursday night, we're going to continue on with our discussion of the precious metals IRA. It's important to understand you have options. Of course, I have options as well. My option is to not discuss it at all. The hell with you. No, you've got a right to be better educated to manage your portfolio. If you're sitting there retired from your company, but you just didn't know what to do, so you left it in the company's pension fund. You remember what happened at Enron? Everybody got talked into reinvesting their 401k money back into Enron stock. And, oh, man, it's going to be a great day because Kenneth Lay and Dick Cheney are making sure we're good and well cared for. And then one day they came to work and Katie barred the door and they couldn't get in and they had no jobs and their pension fund was gone with the wind. We're out of time. Join us on Thursday for the second part of this interesting presentation, and we'll share more with you on maybe how you'd like to try to get involved with something like this. You got the questions, I've got the answers. Prepare to call us on the second half of Thursday night program. Let's get some questions answered. Until then, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.